Beginning in verse 25 of chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. First thing I'd like to bring out this morning is her words, I know. She wasn't ignorant. There was a lot of things she knew. There was a lot of things that she was aware of. A lot of things she'd been taught. A lot of things that she'd kept in her heart for some time. You have to understand that the people that lived in those days, to those that had a lot to do with the Jews, they were very fervent in their worship. They were very fervent in their study of the Word. They were very fervent in acquiring the knowledges of the Word. And if she knew about the Messiah, it meant she knew a lot about the Messiah. It meant that she knew why there should be a Messiah. Why there should be a Christ, why it was necessary that there should be a Savior, why it was necessary that there be someone that comes into our world and redeem us. She had to know that we are fallen beings. She had to know that as in Adam all fell, that certainly the time would come when God would grant us the second Adam, called the Messiah, the Christ, who would not fall. They knew that there would be someone coming in whom they could put their trust, their faith, their hope in. That he would save them, that he would reign over them, and they would no longer have these kings of unrighteousness and terror and abuse. And so, wrapped into these words, and I'm sure not by far any stretch of the imagination, it covers all these things. She knew. I know. She didn't talk about the weather. She wasn't talking about other things. She was talking about the Messiah. Now, no one had brought up the question of the Messiah. It's just that after the things that had happened before, something strangely began to happen inside of her. And she began to wonder, could this be the Messiah? Because having left him, the first thing she said to the men who surrounded her closely in her life is this very thing. Do you think, I mean, don't you think that a person that tells you all about your life is the Messiah? Because it says that when he comes, he shall teach us all things. And not just all things about the birds, the bees, the weather, the aircrafts that will come someday, all that. But tell us all things, the one that knows the secrets of the heart. Isn't the Messiah the only one that knows the secrets of the heart? Isn't he the only one that the scriptures say all things are bare and naked before him with whom we have to do? And I'm sure they had their own rendition of it before the New Testament came along. And I'm sure she didn't have Paul's words, of course, that there would be a second Adam and Christ was a second Adam. That came all afterwards. But you see, all the New Testament came out of the Old Testament. It came out of the teachings of the Old, the prophecies of the Old. Christ on the road to Emmaus taught them out of the old book all things concerning himself, not some of the things, not the ones only revealed up to that time, but all things. And there's the word all things again. There's that expression. Isn't the Messiah the only one? Isn't he the one that will show us all things? Now these people came out to see him only on that basis. Because they too believed that there was a Messiah that was coming. They too believed that there was a Christ. They too believed that there was a Savior. They also knew these things, having been there with the Jews and part of the Jews. Their teachings very similar, give or take a few points. And here they were, Samaritans. Jesus said he went to the lost sheep in his pasture, not someone else's. When the Syrophoenician woman came, it was said to her so clearly, and yet it said he must go to Samaria when he left Judea on his way to Galilee. So why is this, that he would visit someone who was anticipating the Messiah? Who looked forward for the day of their true spiritual emancipation, freedom, liberty, glory, redemption, forgiveness of sins. No one needed to tell them they were living in sin. They knew that. If they knew about a Messiah, they also knew about his law. And if they knew about his law, they also knew about the commandments. And if they knew about the commandments, she knew it was just a matter of time before she was stoned. Before they were put to death. There was only one that could bring her life. There was only one given to have life in himself. And that was the Messiah, the Christ. She was already dead. The sentence already hung over her. It just hadn't been carried out yet. But she was dead. She knew she must die. She knew that that was the end of the way she lived, but she couldn't change the way she lived. She couldn't change the style of life. She tried, I'm sure. And so having tried, she always had the secret desire that someday she, in her lifetime, should meet the Messiah. And so she did something that all of us do, because she represents the church as a woman in the Bible. She does what I think all people in all churches do, or all churches as people do. She put it off into the future. Somehow, faith, it seems less demanding on faith when you put something out in the future. Oh, I know I will be healed someday. Do you know that you will be healed today? No, I just know he said is our healer and someday. But someday isn't the same as today. Jesus said at once today is salvation come to the house. Now that wasn't tomorrow or some other day or some wishful thinking. That was an actual happening. She said, I know that he should come. And although she knew that he was her only cure, her only help, that the only Savior that could free her from the prison that she was locked in was one whose name was Savior. One who was the Christ and the Messiah. But she didn't feel fortunate enough to live in his day. But she still believed that he would come. Maybe when she was old. Maybe in her children's day. Maybe she would die in her sins. But someday, the Messiah would come. And she knew, of course, that when this Messiah was to come, he would set up his kingdom. Because that's what a Messiah was. To be is a king and a ruler. And they were tired of this dispute between Jews and themselves, Samaritans, and the hassles and problems that this created, and the constancy of living under this weight of feeling rejected and underdogs, and they had to carry around this enormous weight continuously of, well, we have terms for it in our modern life, but, you know, people who feel they're too big or too short or too fat or too ugly or too pretty, or, well, I guess not that one, have complexes, and we call them complex. And she had a complex, because hers was more than one thing, but one of them was that they were the underdogs. They were despised. They were rejected by those who supposedly would be as brothers to them. A little bit like what happens between Christian church and Christian church, between Christian denomination and Christian denomination. There's always those who look down on others, feeling that they are superior and better and truer to the seed or closer to the reality or come out from the roots rather than stem out from the tree or the vine. But whatever the case might be, she had a complex as well. And here she was with all her problems. And so, hopeful or wishful thinking, which sometimes precedes faith, at least you hope that it does, and in that it is hope. She said, I know that he will come. But I don't think she was prepared for what was going to happen. It was obvious that she had no idea that it was him, and it was also obvious that she had some suspicion because something was happening inside of her. And when he came out with this thing about her husband's and read her life off to her, and I am assuming here by just what I read in its context, and it isn't clear enough to be able to tell you this is what it says, but its inference is so clear that if you look at this, you realize that although recorded was only the bit about the husband, which suggests to me that the disciples were there for that moment and not when it's recorded that they appeared. That's when they let the rest of them know that they were there by letting them see them. But I think they could hear before they were seen, because they recorded this bit about the husband. But the rest they didn't record, because they never heard it. And Jesus never told him. But the woman gives it away. When she went to the men of the city and says, come and see the man which told me all things. That wasn't all. That was some. Is not this the Messiah? For only he knows the heart. Only he knows everything. Only he it is that everything is naked before. There are no barriers for him. I mean, there's a lot of prophets. They can tell you certain things about your life, but not all things. They might be able, under a gift of knowledge, to tell you where your address is and what your doctor's name is, but they cannot tell you all about your life. There's only one that could do that. So she was already suspicioning. Could it be that the, not a, Messiah, that the Christ, that I'm standing before very God of creation, is it? Could it be? I mean, you have to understand this, because we don't come from a Jewish background, so how could we know? But when she said, I know, that encloses so many things. They understood a lot of things that we didn't understand. She knew that if this person right there was the Messiah, Genesis exposed him as the creator, as the seed of the woman. And if indeed he was it, he was the creator of all the earth. She knew that if her suspicions were true, he was the Passover lamb in Exodus. She knew that if her suspicions were true, and they were too good to be true, so all she could do is just throw it out as a hint, that the entire Old Testament revealed things about him that she would have just fainted and collapsed in the way. It was just too much. I mean, he was just dressed in the normal garment of everyday people. It's true it had no seams. But then again, other than that, he was just a common man. Uncommon in that he dealt with the Samaritans. But if it was true that he was the Messiah, Leviticus more than surely taught that he was the high priest, the very high priest, after an order that was super high, Melchizedek, a kingly anointing of priests. The one who would stand between God and man as mediator. Now she knew this. She had to. Or she wouldn't know what the Messiah is. She wasn't just repeating somebody else's words. I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. So she knew what the Messiah was coming for. All too clear in their teachings out of Numbers is that he was that cloud in the wilderness. He was that column of fire at night in the wilderness. All too clear is that he was the smitten rock out of which came water. The whole supply of the world, of his entire people, came from thence. Could it be that this smitten rock, the one that poured out water, the one that God said, don't smite it, just speak to it, just got through saying to me, if you knew who I was, the rock that followed you in the wilderness, you would ask of me, and I would give you out of this well, for that well was greater than Jacob's well. For Jacob's well stood alone in a certain place, the other followed him through the wilderness. Could it be? Only the Messiah could be that. He would have to take me to his well. He said he could give it to me out of his well. He is the well. He wasn't going to show me another one. He knew about this one. Who is this man? He couldn't be the creator of all things. If he wasn't, then how does he know all things about me? I mean, Jesus set up a commotion inside this woman, turned her inside out, upside down. Let me tell you, if just the presence, the distant presence of the Lord sometimes when he comes in fire and holiness and glory in this place, sometimes leave you very weak so that you can't even drive home, what do you think it must have been like for this woman that was standing in the very presence of the Creator of all the earth? And he was about to burst forth upon her one of the greatest revelations of all time to anyone, bar none. Because up to now, there were only suspicions, of course. Deuteronomy had taught them that when the Messiah came, he was going to be a prophet like unto Moses, greater than he. The prophet, the priest, the king, the creator, the cloud, column of fire, the power that brought down governments, the God that followed them through the wilderness, the well that never ran dry, that followed them wherever they went, and by only asking they received, and drinking they were made alive. The one who could forgive sins, for in Leviticus the priest was to do this, and stand before God in them and absolve them from all their sin, that the wicked punishment and consequences that would there follow, mitigated, a God who could hold it against them now no longer did so, but looked the other way and buried them in a sea of his own forgetfulness to never be reminded of them again. It couldn't be Christ. We know that the Messiah cometh. We know that someday we're going to have an encounter with God. We know that someday our life will be changed. We know that someday the very Creator is going to come down here and not leave us orphans. Someday. As long as we can put it off in the future, we can keep our robes, because, see, he's the only one that can reveal all things. But she'd already been stripped of her robe. And this was this woman wondering, who was this man? And it's the first thing that came out of her mouth when she went back to her city. And as soon as she found a moment of interruption where the disciples came and had a word with Jesus, she dropped her water pot, which later on we might look at, and ran to the city. Didn't ask for permission, didn't excuse herself. She had one thing in mind. Is not the man that revealeth all things the Messiah? That's what was on her mind. Come see this man. I think, I'm not sure, but I think I was standing in the very presence of our Creator. And what's best? I think I was standing before the only one that can absolve me from dying and erase my sentence of death forever. I think it was him. And I think you guys better come too. Because if it is, you need him. Her words were very convincing, But they were based on one thing, who he was. I know. That was quite a statement. That makes me wonder sometimes the importance of teaching in Sunday school and teaching children when they're small and growing up in church when it seems like nothing happens to you and the word just goes in and goes in, goes in, goes in. The day you stand before your Creator, you can say, I know. I know who you are, so I know what's going to happen to me. You won't find out in judgment you knew here. Such important and wonderful things. She had to have known, if she knew all that, that in Joshua he revealed himself as the captain of the hosts of the army of the living God. She had to have known that if this was the Messiah, he could call down legions of angels, destroy all their enemies, set up his kingdom. And she definitely wanted to be part of it. She could remember what it was later when put down to a short phrase by Christ, it's better to fall on the rock than the rock to fall on one and be crushed. It's better to come in agreement with a person who's going to be your next king than to have been his opposer at the time of elections. She had to have known through David the king that he was going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, both here and for eternity. And if she didn't, certainly the scriptures declared it. Perhaps she'd forgotten that, because not everyone remembers everything. But I have a feeling that when she was in the presence of the Lord, it all came to her. The Spirit of the Lord brought it all to her remembrance. He was stirring it within her heart. One thing after another, and it seemed like they all came together. So quick, so rapidly, one after another. Like multiplexing systems and computers. Registering these things at the speed of light. It all happened. In a second, there was such a movement within that spirit. She was never the same again. Something was happening in her that later was described by the two that walked with him the road to Emmaus. He said, did not our heart burn within us as this man spoke to us? Certainly they couldn't forget that in Judges he was the lawgiver, that he upheld the law and didn't come to destroy it, that if he was a prophet as unto Moses, he wouldn't cast down his own work. That the very law that sentenced to death by stoning of those who committed adultery, and that the divorce that was no pleasure to God, with which she was so acquainted with, that had condemned her so often and looked her in the face so frequently, he would uphold. He definitely would uphold. And if Moses was stern with that law and unbending, certainly this Messiah had it in him to be that way. It was just a matter of whether he chose to say, woman, thy sin is forgiven thee, go and sin no more, where are thine accusers? Or whether he stood there and read the law to her and threw the first stone. And he wouldn't need to throw a second one. Because as we could see back in the Old Testament, when the stone was launched through the sling of faith of David's hand, it never missed its mark. And it wasn't a huge one either. It fit inside of a little slingshot. And he never missed. She knew all that. Do you know one thing I know about Christ? When he comes and is ready to do a work for you, he does a preparation first by his Spirit. And I have a feeling that this woman was moved inside. I have a feeling that this wasn't any ordinary, casual meeting. She not only brought up the deal of having to go to church again and which would be the best church to go to, because I think I'm in trouble here, but it got past that. Now she knew that church couldn't save her either until she met the Messiah, and she knew he would be coming, but had a strange feeling inside that maybe this rock that followed him in the wilderness, this law upholder, the holy God, the very creator of the universe, the one who at the same time could stand between them and God lest he destroy them instantly, would either speak her sentence of death and she would instantly die, or could make her whole, but one thing she knew, it would be his Ruth. He won't let the matter drop until he gives you an answer this day. And there she was. And we're amused by her story. And you wonder how you can pull so much out of four words. But there he was. The living God. Who is he? Who was he to be? Certainly she had to know by all the teachings that they had that not only he was the captain of their salvation, but that he was the kinsman and redeemer. Because not only said he would leave it alone, but he was the nearest of kinsmen. That he would redeem that which he had lost. That he was promised to be not only the priest, not only the captain of the hosts as king, guard. Not only could he command legions of angels, but it was more than that. He could tell justice, for he had that authority to hold back its sword. But she knew that it was appointed to the Messiah to speak to justice, to hold its sword, and then walk between the sinner and the sword, and then command that the sword be plunged, and it would be his heart through which it would. He was the only one. She wasn't speaking of a great prophet. She was speaking of the Messiah, the Christ, that had to come and die in our place. The prophet is Moses who came to give the law, but not as Moses who wasn't punished through that law for us. It couldn't be. It couldn't be that this man is going to hang on a cross and die. It couldn't be that the very justice of heaven is going to crucify their creator. It couldn't be that their king and the captain of their host, that he would call upon the host not to save him, but to slay him. It couldn't be. How could he be this man? But if he's not, how could he have told me all things? It has to be. I'm confused. I need to get out of here. I need to air out my brain a little bit. Look, people don't come and get their only supply of water for the day and then forget it and leave without being deeply affected, I want to tell you. Water is the primary demand in our life for all things. She left her water pot. She didn't even know what she'd gone for. She was so messed up inside, she didn't even know why she was going back. All she knew is she looked over her shoulder and she left with a pace of hurriedness, was that if that man was who she thought it was, if that strange sensation of fire and tingling that was happening inside of her was any indication, her life would never be the same after that day. Maybe it was a holy suspicion, I don't know. But a suspicion it was. She knew that in the end, he would not only be the faithful scribe of Ezra and the restorer of wonders, but that he would be the one that would build back the walls that were broken. He would be the one that would restore the church again after having fallen. She knew that he was the one that the scriptures had spoke of, that he was the advocate, the intercessor as Mordecai. She knew, she had to have known all these wonderful things about him. She said, when he has come, he will tell us of all things. Upon this came the disciples, and they marveled to talk to the woman. No man said anything. Seek thou, what talkest thou with her? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city unto these men and said, come, see a man which told me all things. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? But I want to go back just a second to what I feel are the greatest words in all the Bible. For any human ear to ever hear. When all this was happening to her, you have to understand that it was this statement that Christ made that caused her to drop her water pot and leave. She couldn't take the impact of that moment. For after having said, I know that the Messiah will come, I know that he will be the Christ, and I know that he will tell us all things, and looked at him straight in the eye suspiciously as if to say, I have a feeling. He didn't leave her in a quandary. He said these words in verse 26. I that speak unto thee am he. How would you feel if suddenly a burst of revelation came forth before you? And the King of Kings appeared here before you this morning in your very eyesight, and you knew that he was the creator of all the universe. I am the Alpha and Omega, and the greatest of apostles hit the deck as dead. The greatest as prophets dropped as dead and took days and weeks to recover from having seen him for just a moment. One thing is to see him when he's hidden, and another thing is when he reveals himself. She dropped the pot and ran. She was gone. I am he. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Creator. I am the seed of woman. I am the High Priest. I am the anointed sacrifice. I am the cloud in the wilderness. I am the rock that followed you in the wilderness. I am the one that dethroned Pharaoh. I am the living God. I am the prophet as Moses. I am the captain of your salvation. I am the captain of the hosts of heaven. I am the nearest kinsman. I am the lawgiver. I am the Spirit of the Lord. I am the trusted prophet. I am the rejected ruler. I am the reigning king. I am the son of David. I am the faithful scribe. I am the restorer of wonders. I am the builder of broken down walls. I am the restorer of nations and of my church. I am the advocate, the intercessor. I am the man of sorrows, the day spring from on high. I am the Lord, the shepherd, the great shepherd, the great priest. I am the mighty God. I am the wisdom of God. I am your lover. I am the bridegroom. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the prince of peace, the king of glory, the lord of righteousness, the weeping prophet, the living creature, the fourth man, the fiery furnace, the faithful husband of the backslider, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and fire, the burden bearer, the plumb line, the mighty savior, the judge of nations, the great forgiver, the risen one, the beautiful feet of the gospel bearer. I am the avenger of God's elect. I am the stronghold, the intercessor of revival, the rule of all the holy temples. I am the restorer of God's lost heritage. I am the cleansing fountain. I am the universal king. I am the tree, the branch. I am the son of righteousness. I am the one who has healing in my wings. I am the restorer. I am the forgiver. I am the Christ. Can you imagine what might have happened to that soul when he said the words, I am? I am. Before she stayed around to see what I am would do with her, she left. She was gone. More than one effective evangelist has been sent on his mission, not by a commissioning of a laying on of hands, but by departing from an experience that they could not have any answers for, seeking to warn men that if this at all was true, they better repent. Endeavoring to tell them that there was one here that could change them and save them from their sin and from their ways. And they better heed, because it was not a matter of waiting for the Messiah. He was here. We sing that song, "He's here right now," but we really don't think he's here. If you felt that the captain of the hosts of heaven were here, if you felt like the one who called the shot when Sodom and Gomorrah melted in fire, if you felt the one that extended his arm when the rains came forth from the heavenly places and out from the depths of the earth and brought a flood that took on the whole world and changed the structure of continents, of life, and brought judgment upon humanity, if we felt when we sang he's here right now, that the one who hung on the cross because of our sins that put him there was really here, there'd be shouts and pleads of mercy for the repentance of our souls. If we felt when we sang he is here right now, if he were ever to reveal to us that the one that put the planet underneath your feet and kept you on it and balanced the law so now one would be broken until he gave the command and they went spinning out of orbit and the sun darkened its powerful generating source of light. The moon commanded the sign of death by blood. I don't think we could do as we were this morning, become so indifferent as so many of us do. That can only be because we're living in the age of that woman at the stage where we only have a suspicion that it might be him whose presence we can feel in this place. But if we knew, if he ever revealed himself, we would fall as dead, as the greatest and the smallest of them all did. For woman who has borne the brunt and carried on their consciousness from the time of the Garden of Eden on, every single born creature on the face of the earth that was a human being, that was born with a fallen nature, was because of us. And if we as parents look at our children and when they begin to show signs of things that we fought with and many times were overcome by, the sorrow that that brings us, you tell me, how about Eve? We can't look back. We only look forward. And then we die after just a few years, so you might see one, two generations, maybe three. She sees them all. She sees the chaos that it brought all of us. And woman has carried in her bosom the secret weight. And I can't explain to you, if I ever get on the message of the woman Mary, what it must have been like to hold in your hands the second Adam and remember the word, "I will redeem women. I will bring them out of their curse. I will lighten their load. Their seed shall crush the enemy's head and redeem all mankind." It's no wonder Mary said, How have I found this favor of my God? And when she held in her arms the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Seed of Seeds, she truly was emancipated. That's why I said a woman shall be made free in childbearing. I want you to know that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords was standing there and revealed himself. The burst of energy was so great she dropped her pot and ran. She forgot even what she was there for. Water didn't mean anything.
She received the first burst of light, the first burst of living water. The energy was sufficient to make her sick. Come, you must see this man. Is he not the Messiah? He claims to be. No wonder she didn't want to go back alone. I wouldn't either.
But sad to say, we live at the stage that this woman lived at when she said, we know he is to come. And folks, the church is doing that the same today. For we say, the second coming. We know that the Messiah is going to come the second time. We would literally die if he appeared in the midst of us and said, I that speak unto you am he. I thought we were all supposed to see you in a cloud. I thought you're supposed to be the reigning king. I thought the church was supposed to go up and escape all this tribulation coming. I that speak unto you am he. Blessed restraint. No wonder when God restrains himself, he makes us great. God who made us, God who unmade us. God who formed our flesh and God who incinerated it. God who made us in a womb and flooded it with water to give us life. Flooded the womb of the earth and took its life. The God who upholds all things by the word of his power said to the woman, I am he. Either he's crazy out of his living mind or something happened to her that would never make her the same. We know Christ is going to come again. We have a feeling that that beautiful anointing and presence that we feel in this place might be Christ. You leave a service and you talk with your friends. Wasn't that a different service? Wasn't our hearts warmed? Weren't those words different? Something happened. Could it be that Jesus himself was there? But if he was, why does he leave everything the same? Why does life continue as usual? Why didn't he just open the barriers and come out into our visible world? Why doesn't he change me? Because if you knew he was here, your life would never be the same. I quote his words. For the Lord had deeply stirred within her her conscience. He threw a match into all that powder and it lit off with an explosive thunder inside of her being. She knew she stood before the only one. And you must understand this. Her sin was covered, but if it ever was uncovered, she was to be stoned to death. She stood before the only one that now could stone her because he knew. And as the mighty God and King of Kings, when he said, I am, do you think she was going to stay around and be stoned? She dropped her water pot and left. That's what so many of us do when the truth impacts us. When the truth gets inside and reveals what we really are, and you're faced for the first time with what you really are and what's inside. And when you're faced before the when you're face to face before the only one that by speaking one word you would instantly die and go straight to hell, or can speak the word of your release and make you whole and free you from an eternal burden so that you'll never be the same again. What will he say? What's in his nature? She didn't say she knew the Messiah. She knew about him. Well, these are his words. The
find him in the daily life for this morning. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I am the Lord that healeth thee. She responds to him, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and thou art acquainted with my ways. Thou hast set my iniquities before you, and the secret sins are in the light of your countenance. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But I hear you saying, Come now, don't flee. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I guarantee you they shall be as wool. For I am gracious unto you. I am he that delivereth you from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom for you. I that speak unto you am he. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He sent me out to bind the brokenhearted. And when the woman returned to him, there is no record that she was stoned. There is a record that she was turned into a mighty and glorious evangelist. She'd met the Savior. She'd met the Christ. Woman, go, for thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I leave his words with you this morning, because you need to discover for himself what his words are for you. On Friday night, he looked deep into our hearts and uncovered many things that left so many of you wondering. Today comes the answer, what he will do with those things that he well knows of and of which he's put his finger on. I have seen your ways. I've seen your past life. I have seen the sin. I've seen the weaknesses. But I will heal thee. Be made whole. Neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. The woman met the Messiah. She met the Christ. I wonder if we shouldn't, for we sing he's here right now. As I was speaking to you, one greater than I was speaking to your heart. Heed his words. Hear them. Be not afraid of having him uncover the deepest fears in your heart, the greatest sins. But I'm saying to you that he whom thou sayest shall come is here, one greater than Moses, greater than all the prophets, is here right now. I leave with you her words to those men, and to the people of the city, which the scriptures record as many. Many means more than half. She said, Come, and see who he really is. Come and see him, because he not only will expose everything, he will then heal you, restore you, and make you whole. If you knew who it was who stood before you this morning, you would take advantage for a life-changing experience. You would commit yourself and be able to trust him because he is the trusted king. You'd get the matters of your life dealt with that you feared to have dealt with. You would cast yourself upon his mercy. You would ask of him, and he would give unto you life eternal. He is here right now. Ask him to reveal himself. Ask him to reveal himself. For he not only stirs up the things in our life, for he knoweth all things, but he's here to heal you. I have seen his backsliding. I have seen your backsliding. I have seen your sins. I've seen your iniquity. I've seen your filthy thoughts. I've seen your rebellion. But I've come to heal you. But see, healing has to be received. She had to come back. After the impact and explosiveness of the revelation, she had to come back to be made whole. Just like the leper had to come back to be made whole. You need to come back. He's passing your way. For him whose anointing is upon your heart is he. It's his spirit. If you can get it down from Lord, we know that someday you're going to come again to Lord, you're here right now. Your life would really change. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning of your faith. He's the restorer of your faith. Let that something that's happening inside of you take place. Let him heal you. Let him get into the recesses of those hidden crevices and heal all those places. He cannot heal what he cannot expose. He cannot heal what I will not let him expose. But if he exposes it, it's because he's going to heal it. If he exposes sin, it's because he's going to forgive it. If he exposes our nature, it's because he's going to change it. Exposes our weakness, because he's going to heal. What will you do with Christ? What will you do with Christ? Come and see this man who will expose everything you've ever done, but who will heal you, for he is here. Come to this place out in Cliftondale, because the Messiah is here. He will tell you of all things. But then he will change you. He will heal you. He will transform you. He is that fountain that will follow you all through the world where you go. That you have your own private source of everlasting life. Waters that give life unto others. Source of anointing and healing and life. That Messiah that is to come is here. I am he. He that speaketh unto you is he. He that speaketh to you this morning is he.